When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
AM 570, an LA sports icon.
Fred Rogan is here tonight.
Decades on your television covering Los Angeles sports.
Fred Rogan, huge in Los Angeles.
The Dean.
I'm the Dean.
Fred Rogan.
Weekdays before Petros and Money.
A USC All-American.
USC's Rodney Peterson.
An NFL quarterback.
Absolutely perfectly delivered by Rodney Peterson.
Available on the iHeartRadio app or on AM570LASports.com.
This is Rogan and Rodney.
And we continue on, Fred Rogan and Rodney Pete on AM 570 LA Sports. All right, you're getting the itchy dial finger. We know. You're getting itchy. You got something to say. We know. Lakers are in a situation where something's got to change. They won last night. Russell Westbrook looked good. But, you know, if things continue going sideways, who's going to get it? There's one guy that probably will get it, Frank Vogel. He didn't get any kind of resounding backing last night from Jeannie Buss. But if you talk to people, maybe the problem here is Anthony Davis. So you can weigh in on that coming up. And now to weigh in is our good friend, the Saltier, Adam Auslan, brought to you by Honey, the money-saving browser extension.
Ooh, so smooth.
That's right.
Did you have a read in front of you there? What happened?
Ad-libbed that whole thing.
Very nice. How are you guys doing?
Good, Adam. How are you?
I'm good.
Adam, our NBA guy. And all right. So the Lakers did look good last night.
It did. Win by 15 over Boston, but more importantly, they hold them to just 104. And if you look at their offensive and defensive ratings, they're actually worse offensively so far this season than they are defensively.
Lakers.
Offensively, they're 20th in offensive rating. Defensively, they're 15th. But I think there's a connection there. When they get stops, they get in the open floor, and they are death for teams when they get in the fast break situations, when they get in transition. They had 17 fast break points last night, the big dunk by Malik Monk. And even though they are an older team, they have athletes, and LeBron is still a locomotive when he gets downhill. Hasn't been doing that as much so far this season. Actually, only 32% of his shots are coming at the rim. That's down from 42% a couple years ago when they won the championship. So he's got to attack more. Russell Westbrook did attack much more last night, had that 15-point third quarter. LeBron had the 16-point first quarter. That's the recipe for success. If you get stops, if you get live ball turnovers on the opposition, then the Lakers can get in transition, and I think that's when they're at their best.
Adam, what are you, because we've been talking about it the last few days, this whole Frank Vogel talk and not getting a, you know, reigning endorsement from either LeBron or even Jeannie last night. Your thoughts on him and also Charles Barkley calling out Anthony Davis, who has to be better. Your thoughts on that whole thing that, you know, as Fred says, somebody's got to get it if they don't pick this up, and it's more likely going to be Frank Vogel.
Well, look, they're 13-12 right now, even with the injuries that they've had, and Kendrick Nunn still isn't going to be available until 2022 from some bone bruise, some mysterious injury. We don't know exactly what it is, but LeBron has been in and out of the lineup. They're adjusting to having Russell Westbrook, which is a big shakeup when you bring in a guy like that. It's just going to take time. And to his credit, he hasn't had more than 4 turnovers in a game in their last 6 games. He's been much better. And even though he did take a couple of ill-advised three-pointers, I think he took 3 three-pointers in the span of 2 minutes at one point last night. But he only took 4. And I don't know if any coach can control the wild horse that is the Puig of the NBA in Russell Westbrook. So to put it all on Frank Vogel, I think is unfair, but there's some things he could do better. The fans have been upset and in an uproar about him playing DeAndre Jordan, and he's been playing less and less now. So the fans feel like, hey, we were right about that. What was Frank Vogel thinking the entire time trying to make this work? It's not going to. But what Charles Barkley said last night about Anthony Davis and sticking up for Frank Vogel, some of it is fair. Some of it is a little bit over the top. And if we have the audio, I guess, Fred.
Yeah, Kevin's going to grab it.
I wouldn't mind
quick.
Hearing it again.
Okay, here it is.
For the first month of the season, y'all blame everything on Russell Westbrook for the Lakers being putting all them old-ass geezers together. And y'all blame Westbrook. Now I hear y'all going to fire Frank Vogel. Listen, Russ is learning. Frank Vogel is a terrific coach. Putting all them old-ass geezers together and just trying to blame other people, it ain't right and it ain't cool. Listen, Anthony Davis, you got to play better. I said on this first night, if the Lakers were going to be any good, it was all going to be on you. Has nothing to do with Russell, had nothing to do with LeBron, and the rest of them old-ass geezers they put together out there. But now y'all on cross the line because I really like Frank Vogel. And listen, it ain't his fault, but listen, it's in my opinion, I blame Anthony Davis. Anthony Davis, you know I like you as a person, but you ain't doing what you're supposed to do. You're 27 years old. You're supposed to be in your prime. You're supposed to be one of the five best players in the world up there with Giannis, Kevin Durant, and those guys. And you ain't holding up your end of the bargain. So now I hear y'all going to fire the coach. That's total BS, man.
You know, Kevin and I have a sound drop we like to play on FNA where Charles Barkley says, I'm a dumbass. Now, I'm not saying that in this situation, but it is a little bit...
Charles Barkley a dumbass right now.
I'm not. But it is a little bit overblown, the criticism on Anthony Davis.
Why?
As if, well, the main reason they're this bad defensively is because they took away all their best perimeter defenders. You can only do so much when guys are attacking the lane constantly because the point of attack. They're basically just giving up on that end. They lost KCP. They lost Caruso. They lost Kuzma. They replaced these guys with players who aren't very good defenders on the exterior around the arc. And Anthony Davis can't make up for that deficiency. Look, he's getting 24-10. That's not bad. He's just outside the top 10 in scoring, just outside the top 10 in rebounding. He's third in blocks per game. So does he deserve some criticism? Yes, but a lot of people do. But I think a lot of that was still just Charles Barkley wanting to stick up for Frank Vogel and saying he's not the biggest problem. If he wants to put it on Anthony Davis, fine. But I think AD has played well enough this season. He isn't the source of their problems. They have a lot of different things going on.
All right, listen.
But is it optics,
Rodney,
Adam?
Rodney, hold on 1 second. Listen to Bill Plaschke then.
You know who I think you ought to trade? I'm not quite there yet, but I'm closing in on it, thinking about this. It's serious. Is Anthony Davis really the guy you want to run this team for the next 10 years? I don't know. I shudder to think what this team's going to be like when LeBron's gone for good. I mean, I don't know. Anthony Davis doesn't do a thing for me. Why not think about trading him? I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there.
How quickly we forget, and I love Bill Plaschke, that Anthony Davis was just as good, if not better, than LeBron James during their bubble run when they won the championship.
That's what I said,
Fred. He was extremely clutch. He hit the big shot in, game three to take down the Denver Nuggets, or that series could have gone the other way. He was as important with his defense as his offense because he is that good defending the rim when you are at least serviceable on the outside with perimeter defenders. Anthony Davis is a superstar. He hasn't played as well, but 24-10, and he is leading the league in points in the paint. People are not picking up on this. It's not Joel Embiid, who, by the way, is only shooting 44% from the field so far this season. You want to go after a big man for not playing big? Joel Embiid is shooting 44% from the field. That's what James Harden shoots. I mean, that makes no sense whatsoever. Anthony Davis is still over 50% from the field. Yes, he's shooting 18% from three. He's only taking two of them per game, though. He's not killing you in that area. If you want to go back to, well, does he have the killer instinct?
Yeah, does he have that dog in him?
I don't know. I saw it during that playoff run when they won the NBA championship. It sure looked like it then. He's been a monster in the playoffs. Go look at his playoff numbers, even in New Orleans. He's been unbelievable, averaging over 30 points per game then and 12 rebounds. Don't tell me Anthony Davis is the biggest problem with the Lakers right now. Now, I will take the other side of it a little bit and say they are still too reliant on LeBron James in some ways, who's about to turn 37. And you can't put everything on his plate at this age for too long. Now, maybe he'll be able to flip a switch again and he'll go playoff mode activated LeBron James and he will be the best player, can still support the rest of the team as the number one go-to guy. But he's turning 37, and this was supposed to be a smoother transition going from him to Anthony Davis because he's 10 years younger than LeBron. So that does need to happen at some point, the passing of the torch, where you know AD is their number one option all the time. But, yeah, so some criticism fair. Was it over the top with Charles Barkley? Yeah. Do I want to trade him? And I don't know what you would get for him? No, that's not on the table right now.
Yeah, but is it optics though, Adam, that a lot of people are just looking at instead of like the numbers like you broke down for us, which, you know, when you really analyze it and really do a deep dive, it's not about Anthony Davis, but it's the optics. When LeBron is out, I think Laker fans and most people felt, okay, it doesn't matter because Russ and AD can handle the slack and pick up the slack, and then that's where we want to see AD just be dominant AD. And during those times that LeBron's been out, he hasn't been that guy.
The optics are something, but I could also say they're synonymous with false narratives at times, and they're not that meaningful to me. The optics of Anthony Davis and people saying he's only taking jump shots.
But they can't win without LeBron in the game, is my point. It's like they, you know, we think, okay, LeBron's not there, but we got AD. He can be dominant, and we can still win.
It's still early in the season. I don't think they can't win without LeBron James. They can. They've had big victories without him so far this season when they took down Miami in that overtime game, and Anthony Davis was great in that one. But there is that transition to not having your best player, and it's not just not having your best player, it's having the table setter out there. It's having the guy who's in control during crunch time. It's always going to be LeBron James. It always should be because of his high basketball IQ and the position he plays out there. Having your best player as a big man is just a little bit different because he's still dependent on guys getting him the basketball. That's always going to be tricky. You still have to have very good playmakers out there with AD. It's not that simple.
They have Westbrook now.
Yeah, and Russell Westbrook is an absolute thorn in the side of the Lakers at times late in games. He's a Tasmanian devil, Fred. He's erratic. I don't know how many times I have to say it, but he is out of control. He's been better recently, though. They've been able to reel in the wild horse a little bit. But Anthony Davis, look, I would hitch my wagon to him and feel comfortable with it as long as, look, it's not like when LeBron James is gone, it's just going to be Anthony Davis. That means they're going to have other money to spend. That means, oh, I don't know, a guy like Jason Tatum, who they saw last night, could end up in the purple and gold when Kobe Bryant was his favorite player growing up. So it's not as if, and I understand what Bill Plaschke is saying, that, well, Anthony Davis being the leader after LeBron's gone, how's this going to look? Well, they're going to have a completely different roster. They have a completely different roster than what we saw last season. They only had three players return, THT, LeBron, and AD, and everybody expected this to be this smooth, seamless transition. That's just unrealistic. And they're still in the sixth seed right now in the Western Conference at 13-12. It's not skies falling for the Lakers.
Yeah, but you can't point the finger at Frank Vogel. You can't do it.
Point a pinky, you could point a little bit. It's not all him. It's not AD. There's a multitude of factors. It's lazy to just say it's one guy. You could say one guy has a bigger piece of the pie of responsibility, and maybe that's Frank Vogel, but I think it's more to do with injuries and not having LeBron James out there and having Russell Westbrook and his erratic play. That's the bigger issue. The transition from last year's team to this year's team, the early season, the physicality that's allowed now in the game that everybody's adjusting to, the new basketball, there are a ton of variables going on. People want to oversimplify that it's one guy, Anthony Davis or Frank Vogel or Russell Westbrook or LeBron James. It's not that simple. Am I wrong?
No. No.
Am I wrong?
You're not wrong, but you know.
You're just an a-hole?
that's just not the way it works. But yeah, you're not wrong. You make complete and total sense. But
aside from injuries, and I know this is off the beat, what's going on with the Nuggets?
Well, they got a lot of injuries.
That's it?
No, I think, well, the Michael Porter Jr. stuff, I mean, they just paid him. And now he's out. It's back with the back injury. This is what people were worried about when it came to drafting him. This is why he slipped so much in the draft. And for it to happen right after he gets paid $200 million, it looks awful. And Jamal Murray's still out with the ACL injury. And look, they're still a top eight team right now in the West. Things are so jumbled up because there's two really good teams in the Golden State Warriors and the Phoenix Suns.
And everybody else.
And everybody else is fighting for position. And even I think the Portland Trail Blazers are in the eighth spot right now in the West. The Clippers are 13-12. They're in the five spot. So there is room to maneuver just going on one hot streak. It's that simple right now. You can get a top four seed just by going on one hot streak, and we are 30% of the way through the season. So I'm not overly concerned with the Denver Nuggets, but because they have Nikola Jokic and they have ways to figure this out. But the injuries, that's what it comes down to for them right now. Missing Michael Porter Jr., who looked to be taking that next step last season, who was living up to some of that Kevin Durant-type talk with him. And he looked that good at times with his shot. Yeah, that it's going to be tough to overcome.
You know, let me ask you one more question about the Lakers. Jeannie Buss was asked about Frank Vogel last night and basically said, we're not going to evaluate anything until they're 100% healthy.
Oh, we don't have the audio on that one, huh?
That we don't have. But that's not a ringing endorsement, Adam. That's not what you expect.
No. It's measured, but it's also putting pressure on your head coach.
Yeah.
I'm fine with that. He knows the game. He's been in other places. This is L.A., my man. This ain't Orlando. This is not Indiana.
Speaking of making sure no one gets too comfortable.
It's championship or bust. Yeah. You want to light a fire. Everybody's job is on the line when you're playing for the Los Angeles Lakers in a year where the expectations are this high. And as we have mentioned before, it's a lot easier to just clear out the head coach than overturn the roster midseason.
Is it fair for her to do that to him?
I think it is. She's the boss. Yeah. I think he would say the same thing. This is the standard with the Los Angeles Lakers. This is what you signed up for.
I get that, too. I know we talked about it, and you want to hear her say, give him a ringing endorsement, because we all like Frank Vogel, and we don't think it's all his fault. And to Adam's point, it's not just one person's fault. So if you're going to single out someone, you got to single out everyone. But I also get, look, if I say, come out and say he's safe and he's the coach for the rest of the season and they go on a 20-game slide, you know, then I got to backtrack.
Exactly. Don't put yourself in that position where you sound hypocritical or there's some double talk or double speak going on. That's what she was saying. She was saying the safe thing, but it's also accurate. It may be a little bit harsh to some to hear it like that, but it was truthful. And a lot of the people in this business, that's what they want to hear anyways. They appreciate that in the long run. And Frank Vogel, look, he doesn't need to hear it. He knows what the deal is, and who knows what's being said behind the scenes. But obviously, five of their next six games are on the road, if things did go in the opposite direction while they're healthy, while you have a real chance to evaluate the team and see how good they could be and see what their ceiling is, then yeah, something could happen. And it could be Frank, even though it's not fair. Even though that's what happens all the time in business like this. It's not fair, but he's the one that's going to be the fall guy.
All right, tonight the Clippers take on Boston at Staples. You'll have the pregame here. And last night Boston looked, I don't even know what they look like. They didn't look very good.
They're one game over 500.
Yeah, they didn't look
very
good.
It's amazing how many teams we can say that about right now in the NBA, yet everybody wants to focus on just their team and be like, what's wrong with us? What's wrong with everybody? Outside the Brooklyn Nets, who are playing better, the Chicago Bulls, the Warriors, and the Phoenix Suns. You could poke holes at any roster and any team right now.
All right, that being said, you said the Clippers are 13-12. They're playing a Boston team that's basically mediocre. What's going on with the Clippers?
Well, they haven't won back-to-back games in almost a month now. It's been since November 13th. They have been consistently inconsistent. And while they've had injuries, it's other things offensively where they just haven't clicked in. Eric Bledsoe with the starters, that didn't work so well. Now he's coming off the bench. We'll see if he comes back to being a starter. But they did start Luke Kennard last game. Monday night in Portland, Luke Kennard, the Nardog as some call him, he got the start, had 15 points. And the Clippers looked better overall offensively, but you could point at one thing that has changed the last couple of weeks that has led to them losing, I think, 9 of their last 13 or 14 games. Paul George has been in a shooting slump. For 9 straight games, outside of what happened Monday night until the fourth quarter, Paul George was shooting just 35% from the field, just 25% from 3. And we talked about what a great start he got off to this season. The first couple of weeks, 3 weeks, it was hashtag MVPG. He went into this deep shooting funk, but he seems to have gotten out of it, because in that fourth quarter against Portland, when they needed him most, he went 4-for-4 in the last 5 minutes all of a sudden. And Portland only hit 4 shots themselves the entire fourth quarter, and the Clippers ran away with it on a 12-2 run late in that game against a Portland team, granted, without CJ McCollum, who's got a right lung that collapsed.
Yeah.
That sounds unbelievably serious. Mm. And still without Damian Lillard, who sounds like he might be back this weekend as he's going to get a cortisone injection for his abdominal injury. But so it wasn't a very good Portland team, but the Clippers, they'll take any win they could get right now. And I thought the win over the Lakers, considering how desperate both teams were game Friday night,
yeah,
and how well and how hard both teams played defensively, that was a good win. So tonight, if they can win 2 in a row for the first time in almost a month against the Boston Celtics, maybe things start to point the right direction for them.
Yeah, and to your point of Luke Kennard, I love his game. He killed the Lakers down the stretch, and you said he had 15 points. Are we going to see him consistently be in the starting lineup?
I think it's going to be matchup dependent, but I wouldn't be shocked if he's in the starting lineup tonight, just because Boston typically goes a little bit smaller, and he just helps so much with spacing, and that's been a problem with them. He's such a good shooter from the outside. You have to respect him. The Lakers didn't. They got killed because of it. But him getting 15 in his first start of the season, an efficient 15 points, and just the way he meshed with the rest of the starters, because he's going to get more open looks playing next to Paul George and Reggie Jackson than playing with guys off the bench. That's just the way it is. So it helps his game as well, and it helps everybody around them. He just makes the game so much easier. When you have a shooter like that, that has the gravity that he does, that demands more attention, it makes a big impact, and offensively, they need some type of spark right now.
All right, Clippers and Celtics tonight, the pregame 6:30. Adam Osmond will have that. Tip-off will be 7:30 right here on AM 570. The Saltier, Adam Osmond, brought to you by Honey, the money-saving browser extension. Adam, thanks for hanging.
Love you guys. Good sound bites.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires. Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
Oh. I'm the Grinch, Cindy Lou Who. I live in Whoville, who are you? I got a dog, his name is Max. He coughed in my cup, that is a fact. I was a snow, ain't in the
You
coat.
Find this, Ronnie. Roddy P, Fred Rogan on a hump day. Holiday season, it is. It's here. Let's go.
All right, Rodney, we are going to get to the story about the rabid raccoon.
Oh, Lord. Right up your alley, Fred.
Yeah, we got a rabid raccoon coming up.
Oh, no.
But before we
right
get to
up
there,
your alley.
Yeah. Laker fans, we asked the question. Now you can weigh in. 866-987-2570. Charles Barkley, Bill Plaschke said, if you're going to look at a problem with the Lakers, turn away from Frank Vogel. He's not the problem. The problem is Anthony Davis. Charles Barkley believes Anthony Davis is not playing like one of the top five players in the league. Bill Plaschke says, you know, I'm getting to a point where I'm thinking maybe this is not the guy to be here and be the next leader of the Lakers. What do you think about that? Let's go to Miko and Compton. Miko, go ahead.
Man, Bill Plaschke ought to know how hard it is to be a star. AD, they need to keep AD. He's a good player. He's doing good. It's hard to be a star here. Julius Randle, Brandon Ingram, Lonzo, Montrez, Kuzma, everywhere. Everybody lead the Laker, go to somewhere else and be a star and play good. You have to deal with that extra. In L.A., it's that extra you got to deal with to be a star here. Rodney Pete came here. He was a star. He already had stuff built in. Willie Pete recruited L.A. We knew Rodney Pete was here. He was fat. He growed up right there. AD ain't grow. He don't have that kind of those – institutions. They're Magic Johnson, Michael Cooper was on the team, Byron Scott on the team. It's people from L.A. He growed up here. Anthony Davis got to grow up here. He got to become part of the fabric. You ain't nobody here like you, just like Adam said. In New Orleans, you can be that. Here, you just another millionaire on the street.
Miko, bringing the call. Thunder.
Appreciate it, Miko.
Just another millionaire on the street.
That's right. I'd like to be one
Dime
of those.
Dime a dozen.
I'd like to be in that dozen. No, I'm not, Kevin.
Yeah.
No, oh, I'm not. Fred, there you are.
You've been in that dozen for years, Fred.
Well, everything's relative.
Yeah.
You know, everything's relative. All right. Let's go Chris in L.A. Chris, what do you think?
Hey, fellas. You know, I question some of Vogel's rotations, but I agree with Plaschke. I mean, I don't know if we really got the AD that I was expecting. I was expecting a dominating player, but I don't think we're going to ever get that dominating player from him because he refuses to play in the paint. And in L.A., we're used to dominating players from Wilt to Magic to Kareem and Shaq.
Isn't he leading the league? Wait, isn't he leading the league in points in the paint?
Yes, he's number one.
Well, that just shows you that no one else is playing in the paint. That's not as if he's leading a bunch of other people in the paint. You know, so as far as going forward, I thought he would be the one that LeBron would pass the baton to, but I'm not so sure now. You know, I'd rather have someone like Giannis who will be the centerpiece and you can build around. I don't know if AD is going to be that centerpiece that we can build around. He doesn't seem to, I don't know if he doesn't care about dominating or, I don't know. It's just weird. But I know at the end of the day, we're not getting a dominating performance. He's played really good. He helped win the championship. But tell me a actual game where you remember him just dominating. And it shouldn't just be one game. It should be multiple games. But I can't think of a game where I could say, oh, my God, he just dominated the opponent. So yeah. I have my questions.
Appreciate it, Chris. Thanks.
Yeah, it's interesting because you just gave him the stat when he started talking about it and like to see him dominate in the paint, and he's the number one player in the paint. You know, it is. A lot of it is the optics, Fred. I think that we also do that same thing. People do that same thing with LeBron when people don't want to put him in the conversation of one of the greatest of all time. It's because he's not the same mentality, attitude, killer instinct as a Kobe, as Michael Jordan. You know, and people want him to be that, but they're totally different players. So, and a lot of it, like I said, I think it's just the optics that we don't see that dominance. I mean, the numbers show that he's doing well, but the dominance that we want to see, we don't feel it, I guess.
Well, he's not Kevin Durant, all right?
Yeah.
He's dominant. He's not Giannis. He's dominant. That's what they're expecting.
Yeah.
That's what they believe. Okay, we've got a dominant guy. We've got one of the top guys in the league.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, Steph Curry's much smaller. He's not Steph Curry. He's not that. He's really, really, really good.
That can single-handedly take over a game and win it for you.
He's not that guy.
Yeah.
Do you think he's that guy? I don't.
I think he's got it. But here's the thing. The scary part and weird part is that I do believe he's got it in him. And I think he's shown that in him. Just not night in and night out. And I think that is the issue. Because it's like that frustration of that guy that, man, you know, I play with a lot of them. Gives you spectacular plays one week, and then he disappears the next day.
All right, Mike in Long Beach, what do you think?
Yeah, what's up, guys? Mark here.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mark. Go ahead.
Mark.
Get it right,
Fred. Yeah, what's up, guys? Yeah, to me, as the season's getting older, I'm kind of nervous, man. I don't think AD's a great talent. He's got superstar talent ability, but I just don't think he's a number one. We have 8 years of proof in New Orleans. They won one playoff series. And don't tell me he didn't have talent. He had Drew Holiday, Cousins. They had a lot of talent around them. They won one playoff series in eight years. And you've seen here, he can't stay healthy. And so when he's your lead dog, I just don't think the Lakers are going to go very far. I think he's a great number two, as he's proven with LeBron. They can be the best duo in the league. But if you have to rely strictly on AD, I just don't think he has that mentality. He's never going to be an MVP-type player. And people need to stop comparing him to Giannis. He's never going to win an MVP. He's never going to lead a team deep in the playoffs. And he's always going to need somebody better than him to lead the team. I just don't think he's that dog. And the Lakers, if they think they're going to rely on him to be LeBron, hand the reins to him, it's not going to happen, fellas. I hate to say it, but he's just shown. I think Paul George has shown more hard last year in that playoff run without Kawhi than AD has.
Mark, thanks for the call. Appreciate that. See, I would disagree with this point. He is a great talent.
Yes.
He has incredible talent.
Yeah.
I mean,
without question.
Yeah, he's a special player. He's gifted talently. That's talent-wise, that's not the issue. It's not about his talent because he's got that. It's that oomph. It's that you can't put it into words. You can't describe it. It just doesn't seem to be there. And it's subtle, but it makes a huge difference.
Is it because he's emotionless or something? Does he not scream enough? Like, I don't understand what the it factor that's missing when it comes to that.
He doesn't appear to be able, as Rodney said, to take the game over. That's what it is. All right, you got to do this now. Somebody's got to take the game over.
It's the everybody in the building knows I'm getting the ball, and you still can't stop me.
Right. Okay. Kind of like the shut up, get out of the way, give me the ball in the shed, and give me, that kind of vibe.
Yeah.
He definitely does not exude that sort of vibe. But I guess my question would be for those who want to trade him, who or what are you trading him for?
No, you're starting from scratch now.
Exactly. And that's what that is. Because, I mean, you're not going to be able to trade him and have a maybe you're quote unquote competitive.
You better have, like, what's our guy, Ned Colletti? You better have somebody ready to replace him if you're going to trade him.
Yeah.
And you know they don't. They're not trading him for Giannis.
Exactly.
Sorry for the last caller who called. That's not going to be the guy.
Right. I mean, who would you trade him for?
And if you trade him for Damian Lillard, you're probably in worst shape now. So that's the only other star player.
You know, you're talking about trading. There's only really three or four guys that would be an upgrade. Right?
Right.
I mean, it's not really, okay, we can go look at 20 different guys that would be an upgrade. No, you can't. He's an anomaly at 6'11 to do what he can do.
Yeah.
We just want to see him do it every night.
That doesn't seem like it's too much of a request, and that's really what it is. Every night, you're the best guy on the court. Yeah. Every night, play with that confidence. Every night, take the game over.
Yeah.
When the game needs to be taken over, you're the guy that's going to do it. That's really what it comes down to. Let's go, Jim and Cotto da Casa. Hey, Jim, how are you?
Hey, guys, how are you guys doing today?
Good,
thank
you.
Fight on, Rodney.
Fight on. We back!
Hey, yeah, we are. Hey, real quick, so let me just give you a little analogy here. When I was growing up, there was two kids in the schoolyard. One was Rick and one was Darren. Rick had all the talent in the world, but he was soft. And Darren was the same size and didn't have much of the talent. But I wanted to be on Darren's team all the time on the schoolyard because he had fight. He was a fighter. He was a guy that knew he didn't have it, and he had to do whatever he had to do to make up for that talent. Anthony Davis needs to get the mentality that he isn't the best talent in the world, and he has to go in and fight every night, not every fifth night. That's all I got, guys.
Appreciate the call, Jim. Thank you. You know, I don't know, and we've heard this in the past. I don't know if you call the guy soft. I don't know if you can do that. He's not soft.
No.
I mean, he plays hard. He's on the ground a lot of times.
Yeah. He's mixing it up. I mean, you watch him play defense, you definitely know he's not soft.
Yeah, he's not soft.
You can say he's frail because he gets banged up a lot.
Yeah, but he gets banged up. He gets injured.
But no,
he's on the ground. He's on the ground for a big man. He's on the ground more than any big man I know. But no, soft is not a word that I would use to describe Anthony Davis. Not even close.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
Yo! Oh, yeah. Big Shaq, the one and only. Man's not hot. Never hot. Oh, yeah. Skitty cat cat. Boom!
Oh, yeah. On a hump day, Rodney Pete, Fred Rogan. Getting it in. Freddie?
Getting it done. All right, Rodney. Now the tale of the rabid raccoon. You know, I'm not a fan of raccoons. I'm not a fan of possums.
No, you're not. No, you're not.
Not a fan of the Wild Kingdom.
Squirrels.
Don't like them.
Jellyfish.
Hate them. Hate them.
Monkeys.
Well, the jellyfish gave me hemorrhoids. So, I mean, that was bad in itself. I had to deal with that forever.
Wait a minute. I hate to even ask this. Refresh me, because I know you had an issue with the jellyfish. But how again did the jellyfish give you hemorrhoids?
Okay. Well, the bottom line is this: when the jellyfish get you, and believe me, it got me. It was like a hot iron on your arm.
Okay, but where did it get you?
Got me on the arm.
Got you on the arm. Okay,
got me on the arm.
I've been stung by jellyfish too, and so I get it.
It's hot. It burns.
Were you with other people?
Yes, but and then they said,
did they urinate on you?
They said that was the only way to handle it. I said no, thank you. I was unaware of the fact that that really would work, and I didn't want somebody doing that. So as it played out, whatever the jellyfish put inside you, it caused a reaction,
and the only way I could breathe was trying to do certain things. It doesn't matter how it happened, but that's how I got hemorrhoids from the jellyfish sting, trying to force myself to
breathe.
That's
the story you're going with?
No, that is the story. That's a true story.
So immediately after, you got the hemorrhoids.
About a half hour later.
Yeah?
Yeah. About a half. And that's no fun. Don't have that done.
You sure that jellyfish bit you on the arm?
Yeah, you know what? Look, we don't need to get too personal into this. I'm just saying, if you have them, you know, please take care of yourself. They can't be painful. Well,
and I'm surprised you even have a dog, Fred.
No, I have four. But my recommendation is do not have them removed. I'm just saying, you do whatever you want. You live your life. Don't undergo that procedure. Do not. It is horrible. I'll just say this. So, it happened when I was in Phoenix, okay? And,
What, the jellyfish or the removal? I thought the jellyfish were in the sea.
Yeah, the jellyfish happened in the sea. The removal happened in Phoenix. Oh. And when I went in to get it done, I was actually working then at KPNX, yeah, the NBC affiliate in Phoenix. And I went in, and what they do is you lay down on your stomach, and they take two large pieces of tape and basically open your butt. I have this large, bulging growth. And anyway, so I'm laying on the table. I am somewhat exposed. You get a wide open look. I was working at KPNX at the time, and the nurse walks in and it goes, she says, "Boy, it's really nice to see you." I said, "Well, this is a side of me you don't often see now." Wouldn't you agree? Wouldn't you agree? It was brutally painful. Excruciating. Do it.
No shot to numb it up and Novocaine or what? Not Novocaine, but no anesthesia, Fred.
They just did it.
Just no chaser.
No chaser. That's right. Like, oh my God, what have I done? What have I done? I never went back. You know, it's like have your teeth filled. You got one on one side, one on the other. You don't go to the dentist and they do your whole mouth at once. After that, I said, I'll just live with the pain the rest of my life. No, thank you. I'm just fine. All right. That was the jellyfish. Anyway, here's the story of the raccoon. So there's a woman in Massachusetts. She's minding her own business. She's 70 years old. She's out, and she's putting up her Christmas lights. God bless her. What a sweetie. Minding her own business. She hears this sound. She looks around, and staring her in the eyes, as she describes it, is a 45-pound raccoon. Staring her in the eyes. So, you know, she's a bit afraid. She's 70 years old. You have this raccoon staring at you.
Scary raccoon eyes.
Right. Well, it got worse. Because once she looked the raccoon in the eyes, the raccoon attacked.
Oh!
Yeah. Now the raccoon is trying to fight her. And you know they've got those claws.
Yes.
Right?
Nasty animals.
Right. She said she got the raccoon in a headlock.
No!
That's what she said. The 70-year-old woman said, I got the raccoon in the headlock, and I kept twisting and twisting, and I think I broke its neck. Well, she didn't, because the raccoon got up and walked away. I got him. No, you really didn't get him. You didn't get the raccoon. I'm sorry, you didn't get the raccoon. As it plays out...
Aren't they invertebrates? Well, they can squeeze their, you know... I don't think they have like a real spine. They got like a rat spine where they can squeeze their bodies into anything, small spaces.
Well, then she was mistaken.
I don't know if I'm not an animal expert, but
no, and I'm not an expert on raccoons.
Me neither.
Yeah, she thought she squished and squished and squished.
Ooh.
She did not.
She's battling the raccoon at 70.
Oh yeah, she went after it. She was fighting it. She said her heart was racing. She was about to have a heart attack, but she fought the raccoon off.
Would it be wrong for me to say maybe the cracking was actually one of her bones and not one of the raccoons? She was squeezing a little too hard, just like, hey, slow down there, Granny. Don't hurt yourself now.
She's now in traction, and no, that was not reported.
Okay.
But she has had to have rabies shots. Because
of course.
Yeah. And those are the worst possible shots to get.
I would say it probably was rabid, considering it stared you down and then jumped at you for no reason. That's usually a bad sign.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad he didn't attack me when I saw the raccoon eating pizza. I'm glad the raccoon didn't turn on me.
Now, you were in your car, right?
No, I was standing outside the door.
I thought you said you were...
The raccoon was busy, Fred.
Right, yes. The raccoon had a piece of pizza in its hands and looked up at me. And I looked at the raccoon. And I said, get out of here, raccoon. And the raccoon left and took the pizza.
I was really hoping the raccoon would have said, no, Fred.
No,
I think it was the possum that was stalking
you. You're
right,
right, Ronnie.
The possum was your stalker.
Yeah, no, the possum was the one that you drove by a few times and kept seeing, correct?
It tried to attack my car, yes.
The possum tried to attack your car.
Tried to bite your tire, right?
That's exactly right. It was on the corner of Moore Park and Cahuenga, and the possum tried to attack my car.
Did you have a slow leak?
I did not have a slow leak. It just took a run at the tire and tried to bite it.
Tried to bite the tire.
Possum. And the next night I told you, I drove back and it wasn't there, and I wasn't upset anymore, and I took a deep breath, and I was relaxed, and I drove home, and the possum was then sitting on the front porch.
And you know for a fact it was the exact same possum.
Well, it seems rather convenient, don't you think, that the possum was trying to get me for two nights, and then I get home and it's waiting for me?
Maybe it's just a family of possums, Fred.
I don't think
One possum told the other, and they're all after you now.
No. And that's when I took the brick and threw it at the possum and ran in the house. The possum ran away. I didn't hit the possum.
Oh, thankfully.
No, I didn't hit him.
You didn't hit anybody's car, did you, Fred?
No, I didn't.
You're going to say the possum made me do it? Right. Sorry, Fran. I broke your Tesla window. It wasn't me. It was the possum.
It was the possum.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires. Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.